As parents of children and teenagers, or as leaders and mentors, how do we transfer intangible qualities that define character? How do we help our sons and daughters understand the importance of personal virtue that ultimately shapes their decisions? Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a message based on 1 Samuel 25. It's here we find the fascinating real-life story of Abigail, who was married to a tyrannical husband named Nabal. When the king-elect, David, became personally slighted by Nabal, David intended to kill him. Let's pick up the message Chuck Swindoll has titled, The Discernment of Abigail.
David and his men have done a very faithful job protecting Nabal's flocks. According to verse 15 of this chapter, the men were very good to us, says one of the servants. We were not insulted, nor did we miss anything, as long as we went about with them while we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, Abigail. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day. All the time we were with them, tending the sheep. Now that's a faithful service. Verse 5, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, watch the shaloms in this statement he gives them. Have a long life. Shalom to you. Shalom to your house. Shalom be to all that you have. A wonderful greeting. Peace, peace, peace. David has no interest in getting any more than he deserved. He's willing to take whatever Nabal gives. In fact, look at what he tells them, verse 7. I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please, look at how gracious this is. Give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David. Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Can't you hear him? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know? Now, meanwhile, back in the hills, David has got the charcoal broiler going. His stomach is growling. Verse 12. So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. David said to his men, gird on your sword, saddle up, fix bayonets. Each man girded on his sword, and David girded on his sword, and about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. One of the young men told Abigail, verse 14, behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us. We were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the field. They did a good job. Abigail is wonderful here at this moment. Look at her go into action. She hurried and took 200 large loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already roasted, 5 measures of roasted grain, that works out to 2 full bushels, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 fig cakes, even a little dessert. Now, while she's getting all of that together, you do this, you cook that, you be sure those are ready. You put this one on that donkey, you put this one on that one. Let's wrap these together. Let's keep this in mind. She is in her mind thinking, how can I approach this angry man? There's no place for panic in her life. She's very methodically thinking it through. What is going to honor my God? What is going to be best for my husband? Verse 19, she said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I'm coming after you. She didn't tell her husband Nabal. Look at that. Why, of course not. If you're married to a Nabal, you don't even need that explained. There are some things you never say to a fool. There are some things a fool will react to that will ruin even God's arrangement in this. She's on top of everything else, wonderfully confidential, isn't she? What a remarkable woman. She knew what to tell her husband, and she knew what not to tell him. I've heard some people handle this passage and say that she should have said, "Let him come." That's her way of getting rid of Nabal. That's the strangest interpretation I've ever heard. Is that what a wife does for her husband? Don't answer. Verse 20. It came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain. This is the moment. This is it. That behold, David and his men were coming down toward her, and she met them. Right there. Here's Abigail with a crock pot. Here's David. Sword. 400 guys ready to kill. They can't hit a woman with a crock pot. They got to stop. And all of this food and all this delicious smell is in the air. This is a bright lady. She knows what she's doing. But look, she just doesn't appeal to his stomach. Look at the tact. The spotlight suddenly shifts from the king-elect to the woman. I love it. It's beautiful. 23, verse 21, David had said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness. Nothing was missing. Of all that belonged to him, he has returned to me evil for good." See, those are David's thoughts. "May God do so to the enemies of David, and more also if by morning if I leave as much as one male who belongs to him, I'm going to slaughter the whole group." And suddenly he sees Abigail. She hurried and dismounted. She fell on her face before David and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and she said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the blame. Please let your maidservant speak. Let me speak to you, and please listen to the words of your maidservant." By the way, in this passage of Scripture, she refers to herself as a maidservant numerous times, and she refers to him as my Lord over and over again. Very gracious response. "Please," she says again, "please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man." Hey, discernment doesn't mean you stick your head in the sand and pray all the time. She knows he's worthless. She knows his character. But she's, in some way, in some simple, beautiful, naive way, she's brought food that somehow could preserve her from another horrible thing. And more importantly, preserve David from murder on his record. That's what she's getting at. She's thinking about her husband. She's thinking about David. She's not thinking about herself. "Put the blame on me," she says. "Don't pay attention to him. Nabal is his name, and Nabal is his nature. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent." Verse 26, "Therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives." Now look at this great speech. She has it all planned out while she was in the kitchen. "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please, please, David, forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house." You think she didn't have her eyes in the future? You're going to be king, man. You're on your way. You're about there. "Because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you all your days." You want him to say, "Hail King," not "Hail murdering King." Think, David. "Should anyone rise up to pursue you and seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living." That was a colloquialism for absolutely preserved. You're going to the throne. They'll never kill you. "But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. It shall come about when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord." I love that. She says, "I don't want you to live with a guilty conscience that as you sit on that throne, the throne of Zion, you remember the day you slaughtered Nabal and his family." You don't want that, David. "When the Lord shall deal well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant," period. Whew. Well, I don't know if you've ever had anybody do that to you. where you're just on the verge of something absolutely shameful. And you had somebody make a phone call or put their hand around your shoulder, or you had your mate pull you up close and whisper, or you had them drop you a note that just said in anguish, don't do that. Don't do that. But if you have had that happen, then you understand David's gratitude. Oh, what a sigh of relief. Verse 32, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discernment, lady, the discernment. You're way ahead of me. I was thinking only of the wrong done to me. Blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed, from avenging myself by my own hand. Verse 35, David received from her hand what she had brought to him and said, go up to your house in peace. See, I've listened to you, and I've granted your request. Is that a great woman or what? So he turns around and takes all the food back, and they enjoy their meal. You think she goes home to a great reward? She goes home to a drunken slob. Look at it. Abigail came to Nabal, verse 36, and he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk, so she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. Wouldn't that have been a great moment for her to walk in and say, I just saved your body, Ace! She doesn't do that. No resentment, no self-pity. She just turns in, pulls up the covers, and goes to sleep. God knows what she did. God will reward her. Nabal doesn't have the sense to know what he's got in that great woman. And God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So the Lord took up the slack the next morning. Verse 37, it came about in the morning when the wine had gone out of Nabal that his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him so that he became as a stone. I take it that he had a stroke. And about 10 days later, it happened that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. The Lord, not David. I mean, when she pictured for Nabal as he's just, you know, in a hangover, she pictures the troops coming down the hill with swords flashing. He's gone. 10 days later, he's gone. And the Lord struck him. You know, a great verse to put in the margin of your Bible is Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You trying to fight back? You trying to get revenge? You trying to fight dirty like they're fighting you? You got your sword drawn. You're waiting for the moment to... You need an Abigail. You need somebody to tell you, listen, the Lord knows what he's doing. Now, I can't promise every woman of an ornery husband that 10 days after the truth is known... I hesitate to say that, but maybe I should. But now, what I think there is here is a principle that your ways will be rewarded by God, not by your husband or your wife or that friend you trusted. God knows what you've done, and God knows what you deserve, and he'll make it right, or he isn't God. And he'll do it in his time and in his way. And if I may use a gambling term, he'll do it in spades. He'll do it in such abundance, it'll clearly be the Lord. Let him fight your battles. He can do it. David should have known that when he took on the giant. He just took a couple of three, four, five stones. And he said, the battle is the Lord's. But he forgot it now. Great men can later forget. They need an Abigail. Well, this almost ends like a fairy tale, doesn't it? 39, you've already read ahead. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. Now he's got his perspective back. Abigail's keep your perspective. They help you keep your perspective. He has kept back his servant from evil, meaning he kept me from killing the man. The Lord has returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. I mean, there's no reason to grieve all day, lady. Let's get married. No, no, that's not what it says. I'll get mail on that. Verse 40, okay? When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David has sent us to take you as his wife. They're here for another reason this time. David wants a bride. She didn't pray very long. Says she arose, bowed her face to the ground, and said, Behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my Lord's servants. Abigail quickly arose and rode on a donkey with her five maidens who attended her, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. That is a great ending, isn't it? And they lived happily ever after. No, probably not. Marriage being what it is. Not even great marriages live happily ever after. Let's give up that. That's a pipe dream. It's a joke. They lived with difficulty. They lived with adjustment. They lived learning from one another. But they lived together. She had paid intense dues with Nabal. She knew what marriage was about. So did David. Let me give you a couple of things to think about, okay, when you turn all this off and you're on your own. Listen. When there is discernment, there need not be a great display of strength. Let's put it that way. When there is discernment, there need not be a great display of strength. You don't need guns and tanks and armor and bullets. You don't need a big display of strength when there is discernment. Discernment is a powerful weapon. It cuts through the hearts of kings. It slices at anger and revenge. It wins. Think, my friends, think like a Christian. Think of the cross. Think of Christ. Think of his response when they drove the nails into his hands. He saw beyond the nails when they put him on the cross. Peter tells us he didn't even utter a word. You may be the Abigail in someone's life, and you may be the one to touch them on the back of the hand to calm their spirits. You'll know the right time. There's no handbook on that. And God will lead you. Be courageous. Say something. Remember, she acted in haste. Discernment doesn't need a great display of strength. Here's another one to think about. When there is discernment, wisdom is rewarded with relief from above. Don't you think for a moment that God is missing out or is just learning from this scene. He's got it all planned. When there is discernment, wisdom is rewarded with relief from above. Who knows but what Psalm 40 came from this source. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, the pit of anger, the clay of revenge. And he put my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in Yahweh. Oh. Abigail gets no credit for psalms like that, but I think she deserves some. I don't know where you are in your life. I care, but I have no way of knowing. Some of you are dangerously close to something that could linger on your record and ruin your reputation. May God bring to your side an Abigail. And may you listen. Even though you may have the right, even though it may be all the things in your favor, you don't dare sacrifice on that altar of the immediate something that you'll spend the rest of your life regretting. May we bow together. Maybe what's missing in your life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe that's it. He's a constant companion. He's an ever-present Abigail within. He's a restrainer. He with infinite wisdom and discernment will stop you so often. But if you don't know him, how could you possibly enjoy the benefits of his presence? I invite you to come to him today. See, it's just things like this that the cross provided, along with wonderful forgiveness and cleansing and eternal life. The cross provides you with a built-in restraint to keep you from being as evil as you could be. Jesus Christ's death is paid for you. I invite you to take it now. We have a prayer room where there are counselors who will talk with you. They'll minister with you. They'll pray with you. Don't put that off. Our Father, no one knows how weak we are better than you. No one sees all of our needs better than you. No one has the perception to look down into our souls better than you. No one has the love or power to make us whole. I pray, Father, that you will empower us from within, that you will give us the ability to listen at crisis times in our lives to people who deserve our ear. Guard us from haste and rash decisions that we would later regret. Give us the discernment of an Abigail to be that kind of friend to one who is on the verge of a treacherous act. And may we not think that being pious means being passive. Make us actively engaged in righteousness, our Father. Thank you for preserving David, our friend, from this awful act. May we learn from his model. We come to the cross again today for fresh power. In the name of the one who died there for us, we pray. Amen.
I like the way Chuck framed that truth. Just because we're pious doesn't mean we become passive. Sometimes the most appropriate action is an expression of strength and conviction. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled The Discernment of Abigail. And you can access all 12 sermons in the Character Count series by going online to insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888. Well, I'm holding in my hands a brand new resource we'd love to send your way. It's printed in the now popular Insight for Living Passport format and called the Understanding Heaven Passport. Chuck?
If you've ever traveled for extended periods of time, you know what it feels like to be homesick. Your heart just aches to be back where you belong. Remember that? You find yourself daydreaming about the familiar places where love and comfort and acceptance abound. Well, those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ know that heaven, not this old earth, is our final home. Here we're aliens and strangers on this earth, foreigners longing for our homeland, writes Peter in 1 Peter 2:11. So, isn't it strange that most of God's children give little thought to their eternal destination? Heaven remains more of an incomprehensible mystery, but it need not be that way. You'll be surprised by the details provided in the Word of God. And to help, we put together a convenient resource just for you. The Understanding Heaven Passport contains forthright answers in an easy-to-read, concise, pocket-sized format. As we travel through life, our homesickness for heaven should impact our daily lives. That's precisely why God revealed truth about heaven to each one of us. To give us hope, to help us persevere, to strengthen our faith until he returns to take us home. You need to discover what awaits you. So get your copy of the Understanding Heaven Passport today.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And we'll be happy to send you the Understanding Heaven Passport when you include a donation of any amount with your request. Let me give our contact information. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. Thank you for your donation. It's your financial contributions that allow us to provide Chuck's teaching on your station and on the Internet. And when you give, be sure to request the helpful resource Chuck mentioned. It's called the Understanding Heaven Passport. This is something you can pass along to a son or daughter, perhaps a friend or neighbor, who has questions about heaven. It's possible you're listening today with lots of questions about God's control over the events of your life and whether or not He truly cares. Well, Chuck delivered a helpful sermon called Timely Reminders of God's Sovereignty. And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a free copy. We're confident this sermon will give you a deeper understanding of God's love, care, and compassion for you. Just request the free CD, Timely Reminders of God's Sovereignty. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. The free CD is not available online, but for all other resources, go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll's series, Character Counts, continues on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Discernment of Abigail, was copyrighted in 1988, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.